By listening to the Conscious Fertility Podcast, you agree to not use this podcast as medical advice to treat any medical condition in either yourself or others. Consult your own physician or healthcare provider for any medical issues that you may be having. This entire disclaimer also applies to any guests or contributors to the podcast. Welcome to Conscious Fertility, the show that listens to all of your fertility questions so that you can move from fear and suffering to peace of mind and joy. My name is Lauren Brown. I'm a doctor of traditional Chinese medicine and a clinical hypnotherapist. I'm on a mission to explore all the paths to peak fertility and joyful living. It's time to learn how to be and receive so that you can create life on purpose. All right, this is part two of my interview with Dr. Larry Pilevsky. And this is a section on vaccinations. And I'll share with you that I know this is a triggering topic, and there are those that love and want to take vaccines and think they are the best thing since sliced bread. And then there are those that think vaccines are very unsafe and dangerous, and people should not take them. And then there's a lot of people like myself that just want to be healthy, right? We don't want to get these diseases that could be preventable. And we also don't want to take something that's meant to protect us and get unwanted serious damage or side effects. And it seems like the information that's out there conflicts. And you're not going to get a resolution in this section. You're not going to get a resolution, but I'll tell you what the game was, or what we did is we decided that whatever angle he takes, I'm going to do my best to take the opposite angle, regardless of my views, just for the idea to bring out some more truth. And we finished, though, with what to do anyway, whether you get vaccinated or not, basically how to improve that healthy environment to keep your immunity up in general. So this is the section on vaccination. And if you're just catching this episode of part two, there's a whole other part one where we go into conscious parenting and the raising of children and the health of children. And I hope you, if you haven't listened to that, listen to that one as well. Today, I have Dr. Lawrence Pilevsky on the Conscious Fertility Podcast, and he is a board-certified pediatrician specializing in holistic and integrative medicine. And many of you may be wondering, why am I having a pediatrician on the Conscious Fertility Podcast? Well, I like to think about the end in mind. And if you're looking to get pregnant as part of your journey, we want to know about how you're going to raise this child and have a healthy child, and maybe what you need to do to have that healthy child. But that's not the only reason why I'm having Dr. Larry Pilevsky on our podcast today. Got to check out his background. He's trained at NYU School of Medicine. He has over three decades of experience, including work in pediatric emergency and intensive care. Dr. Pilevsky takes a whole body approach to health. One of the reasons why we have him on our podcast. He addresses the physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being of children and families. He's known for his deep insights on childhood development, conscious parenting, and the root cause of illness. A sought-after speaker, educator, and advocate for critical thinking in medicine, Dr. Larry empowers parents to take charge of the family's health through informed choices and holistic care. Dr. Larry, welcome to the Conscious Fertility Podcast.
Thank you for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Vaccinations. All right. This is me asking now. I'm pissed off. Okay. I'm pissed off because I want experts to kind of give me some good information so I can know what to do. You know, I hear from people that are credentialed, respected, that these are great, they're safe, and everybody should do it. And then I have people who are credentialed as well and say that these are dangerous and you shouldn't take it. I'm going to give you my perspective, by the way, because I find that most people are a coin, and they're both the same, just a flip side, but they're both pissing me off, okay? And because there's some people that are anti-vax, so even if a vax could save your life and help you, you're not going to want it. And then there's some that just are passive and pro, and that everything must be safe and great, and they'll take everything you want to inject them. Here who I am. I'm kind of a vaccine safe, aware kind of guy. I need somebody. I'm a doctor of Chinese medicine, clinical hypnotherapist. I'm not an infectious disease expert. I'm not a vaccine expert. So I need people to kind of, I figure there should be data that we should know what the hell's really going on. So this is where my questions are coming from. There are certain vaccines that I'm fine personally taking. Like if polio's around, I've seen people that have had polio. I don't want polio. I would take a polio vaccine because it seems like It's helped people, and I don't think I'd want that disease. I personally don't take the flu vaccine because it doesn't seem to be very accurate. I did COVID, but not willingly, because in my medicine, culturally in Chinese medicine, the people that are in it are more don't want to do vaccines. So throughout my life, trained in that, I got programmed thinking that they're dangerous, they'll cause some harm. My wife worked at Children's Hospital, so they're a good thing, right? So she wants them. So here I am, like, what's the right thing to do? And I had to do multiple COVID vaccines to keep my job in British Columbia for COVID. At the beginning, I wasn't sure. I did go through a process spiritually to make my decision on what I thought was right for me, so, and which I did. And I went in there comfortably to do that. I could put 10 people in a room, and 10 people, five of them are going to say why it's safe, why you need to do it, why it's working. And I can put five people in the room, and you're going to tell me it's not safe, it's not working. So I'm very confused. And I think this is a global thing. It's not just with vaccines. Everything's polarized. And I don't know if it's on purpose where you can't, you don't know what truth is anymore. Maybe there never was truth, but I want to hear your perspective. And I'm going to probably, if you hate vaccines, then I'm going to take the pro-vaccine approach. And if you love vaccine, I'm going to go the anti-vaccine approach to pull out the truth here. But I'd love to hear your take, because in my research of you, you talk about critical thinking.
Okay. So I started medical school in 1983. I got very little education around vaccines. In 1983, there were only three vaccines that we were given. There was the DPT, the oral polio, and the measles shot, which then in the later 80s became the MMR, measles, mumps, rubella. In the late 80s, we had the Haemophilus influenza B vaccine. And then in 1991, we had the hepatitis B vaccine. In 1995, we had the varicella vaccine. And then in the late 90s, we had the inactivated pertussis vaccine and the DAPT. And then in 2000, we switched from the oral polio vaccine to the injectable vaccine. And then more and more vaccines came, the pneumococcal vaccine for babies, and the Gardasil, the flu shots, rotavirus, and
HPV.
That's the Gardasil.
Yeah. The Gardasil, okay. And COVID, by the way, some people say it's not a vaccine by definition. It's a gene therapy. But the idea behind it was to protect you. But so I want us to be impeccable with our words as well.
You may want to define what you're doing.
And already I'm like, okay, you got some knowledge because you know dates of vaccines. So I already know that this is not the first time you're going to talk about vaccination.
No. So the little that I got in medical school was they're safe and give them. This is what happened with the smallpox. This is what happened with polio. And of course, I was given the information. I believed it. And then 15 years later in 1998, a mother came up to me and said, Dr. Larry, did you know that there's mercury in vaccines? And I said, no. And the next question I asked was, what else is in there? And soon after around that time, I had a 15-month-old kid in my practice who got his booster shots and developed a massive fever with lymph nodes swelling all over his body, neck, underarms, inguinal region. And I had never seen something like that before. And so I looked at my training, First Do No Harm, and I invoked what I call the precautionary principle, which is, hold on a second. What's this about mercury in there? Why is it in there? What is it doing? What else is in there? And so over the last 20, almost 27 years, I have been digging into the things that I was told versus the things that I found out. And it was very, very unnerving to me to find literature in the PubMed and in the journals that did not support any safety of any vaccine ever. This is not my opinion, Lauren.
Can you elaborate that? So when you say
I could not find one vaccine that was properly studied for safety.
Okay.
Even if you took one ingredient that you're giving in the shot, and injecting it into 100 kids and then taking a placebo, completely inert placebo, and injecting it into 100 kids and comparing the health outcomes in each set of 100 kids, and I could never find that. And then if I wanted to take one ingredient of a vaccine with one other ingredient in the vaccine and study that in 100 kids and compare it to 100, I couldn't find that either. And then when I looked for any study that took a full vaccine and studied it in a number of children and truly compared it to another group that got an absolutely inert placebo, I could not find that either.
And to me, and I just want to, for our listeners, because I know vaccines can be triggering, so deep, breathe deeply, everybody. Don't take it personally. We're looking for a truth here to understand. Now, looking at the vaccine that has all the, what do they call,
adjuvants.
Adjuvants. So looking at a full vaccine with a placebo makes sense. Sitting there looking at each individual ingredient doesn't seem practical or make sense to me, because things change when they're mixed together. So a single herb in Chinese medicine and that herb with five other herbs, that formula becomes a whole new entity. You can't look at the individual ingredients. So
these ingredients don't work the same way herbs do in Chinese medicine.
Right. But what are we injecting? That's what I want to know. What the vaccine is, I'd be curious. So if I'm hearing correctly, the vaccine that has whatever's in it, so whatever's being injected in you, that has not been studied for safety, as you expressed, where they've done that and looked at a placebo and compared.
100% correct.
Okay.
And so as a scientist who's taught to abide by the scientific method, that was concerning.
Do we know why? Because drugs, don't they have to do that?
Especially because we need to know what the safety profile is of the injection. And so why would they not do a study that is abiding by the scientific method that I was taught to uphold in medical school? Now, when I learned that before 1986, vaccine manufacturers were being sued for damages that were done to children who got the vaccine and either died or were permanently damaged, these vaccine manufacturers were losing a lot of money because they were being held liable for an unsafe vaccine, for a damaging vaccine. And then in 1986, the United States Congress took away almost all liability from the vaccine manufacturers, because the vaccine manufacturers went to Congress and said, we can't keep producing these vaccines. We're going to go bankrupt. We need protection. And instead of Congress saying, we'll make them safer, Congress said, we're going to give you almost full immunity to any liability. So after 1986, there was no oversight in vaccine manufacturing, even though the 1986 National Vaccine Injury Compensation Act had a stipulation in it that said HHS, Health and Human Services, was going to write a report every 2 years updating the American public on their evaluation of ongoing safety issues related to vaccines. And we are in 2025. Prior to Robert F. Kennedy Jr. becoming HHS secretary, that report was never written anywhere between 1986 and 2025. So no one was minding the store. And then in 2011, the United States Supreme Court said that vaccines are unavoidably unsafe. And so without studies proving any safety, and then learning what the ingredients actually do when they are injected into the body, and then learning that the vaccine manufacturers have no liability at all. I got to see a picture that wasn't what I was taught in 1983 and 84 and 85 and 86 and 87, that vaccines were safe. And my job is to first do no harm. And it's not enough for any authority to say to me, they're safe. And that's what happened, rather unfortunately, is that the public has trusted an authority and not done their homework. And if you go to buy a house, you're going to check the boiler, the heater, water heater, the electricity, the roof, the attic, the basement, the floors, the kitchen, the bathroom, the outside, the grounds, the pipes. You're going to check all of it. And you're not going to allow the realtor to say to you, it's a good house. Buy it. And this is an injection that you're putting in your body that your physician has absolutely no idea of what the ingredients are, how the shot is manufactured, the fact that it was never truly tested for safety, and no understanding of what those ingredients do when they're injected into the body. And I did my research after 1998, and the information I found about what ingredients are in those shots and what the potential is for those ingredients when they are injected into the body, I could not, with any good conscience, sell those shots in my office ever again.
A couple of points or questions I want to ask. So you have shared that they have not been tested for safety. However, that doesn't mean they're unsafe. So we're going to have to get to that. Just because a study hasn't been done doesn't mean they're unsafe, because the study wasn't done.
You can't tell me they're safe.
No, I can't tell you're safe. I just want to A plus B equals C. I want to make sure we don't make a leap. Remember, I said I'm going to play the other side. I don't get every vaccine. When my children were young, I spaced them apart because I didn't want them to get them all at once. I consider myself vaccine aware. And like we said at the beginning, I'm confused, right? And some of my medical friends are like, you're an idiot for not getting vaccinated. And some of my medical friends say, you're an idiot for getting vaccinated. So I'm being very curious. And I'm sure there's a lot of people here going, yeah, I want to know more. So it hasn't been shown to be safe. It hasn't gone through that. That doesn't mean they're not safe yet. That's where we're going to get to. I'm just saying from that point, other point you shared about they have no liability, and then I'm sure people will leap to some form of conspiracy as well. I would say that I can get why they would have no liability, because if you're being sued all the time, that's costly. Now, suing somebody doesn't mean they have created damages. I have seen people, there's always special people. You only need a few that come to your clinic. And let's say they had acupuncture in the right hand, and now they tell me their left foot's broke. I'm making a big story. And because they had acupuncture in the right hand, they're convinced that their left foot broke because of my acupuncture I did in the right hand. And it costs money. And if I have to deal with that lawsuit, that's expensive. So
I really would ask you to be a little gentler about the fact that those parents knew right in front of their eyes that they had a normal, healthy child, and watched those children significantly deteriorate and lose almost all, if not many, neurological functions. And to think that that's not real, and to think that that's not from the shot, is like saying, I punched the wall, I broke my hand, I go to the ER, and I say to the doctor, my hand's broken. And the doctor says, how'd you do it? And I said, I punched the wall. And the doctor says, no, you didn't. There is a significant denial of the degree to which these shots have injured and maimed and killed. And I have heard too many stories. These manufacturers know the data. They know that the ingredients in the shots cause brain damage. They know. And if you want to know why, I'll tell you right now. The ingredients in the shots that are meant to cause an immune reaction, the adjuvants, are the same ingredients that drug companies use to bind to drugs, to get drugs to enter the brain across the blood-brain barrier. Because the blood-brain barrier is a potent protector of things in the blood from going into the brain. And because of that, the drug manufacturers know that they can't get drugs into the brain easily. And so if they're going to treat lesions, infections, psychiatric issues, they need to be able to get drugs to cross the blood-brain barrier. And the chemicals that they use to bind to drugs, to get the drugs to cross the blood-brain barrier, are the same chemicals used in vaccine manufacturing to manufacture vaccines so that you can get an antibody response. And if you ask any pediatrician or scientist, do vaccine ingredients enter the brains of our children? There is absolutely no study to answer that question. But there is blatant evidence that the same technology that's used to enhance delivery of drugs into the brain is used exactly the same to manufacture vaccines. And we have 1 in 5 children in the United States with neurodevelopmental disabilities. We have 1 in 36 with autism. We have 1 in 9 with ADHD. We have 1 in 20 under the age of 5 with seizures. What is happening to the brains of our children, Lauren? I don't see these data in unvaccinated kids. My colleagues who work with unvaccinated kids don't see these data. Parents who have children who are fully vaccinated, partially vaccinated, and unvaccinated see the massive difference in the chronic illnesses of their children and the time that their children recover. You have ingredients in the vaccines that bring inflammatory material into the brain, and that is a fact, not my fact, and the manufacturers know it. Blatantly know it.
More questions. Now, well, you said, Lauren, you can't say this to the parents. I'm playing the other side, parents, just so you know. If he was saying why you should get vaccines, I'd be saying what he's saying right now. So don't make it like I'm telling these parents, because I've had parents come in saying, hey, what's happened? I've had people come in, it's not a data point, where they did the COVID vaccine and they developed all these autoimmune crazy-like symptoms, like they got not well. Just like some people got it from COVID, these crazy long COVID symptoms. So again, damned if you do, damned if you don't sometimes. So a couple of questions I have. You said some things where I wasn't sure if it was being data-driven. So I want to just clarify this. When physicians say they can see it in their patients, again, we can have bias, but we have a lens. Is there actual collected data that we can compare that people, like countries that don't have the vaccine, that their children are different? Or do we have data? Not that, because, you know, if I sat there and said, this is my patient population, this is what I think is happening, and then somebody went in and actually did a hard audit, I'm pretty sure the audit would come up differently than the physicians, what they think is going on.
I have a colleague who did that data. He assessed that data from his practice, and he published the report. And he lost his license because he told the truth. Right. And he published that study, and it was airtight. Vaccinated children are statistically significantly more chronically ill and come to the doctor for more chronic illnesses than partially vaccinated kids and then unvaccinated kids. And that study was done tightly, and he was stripped of his license because he published that study.
And for those that are, you know, have a different view, I wish I had the science so I could have a great debate with Dr. Larry. But as a layperson in this sense, I'm doing my best. Interesting enough, I've heard it twice from a Chinese medicine perspective. One is the concept of one person, a colleague said, that if they had discovered vaccines, that idea in Chinese medicine, they would have used it because they use anything that would work. You're saying, though, may not be safe or work. And then another, I've heard this multiple times, when you understand the concept of how a pathogen enters the body, there's six layers in Chinese medicine, that the vaccine bypasses all those layers and goes to the deep. And you don't want to put anything into that deep layer. That's when it's very dangerous for the body. And the vaccine is passing all those processes from a Chinese medicine thinking.
That's one very important perspective, and I understand it. Here's the main problem in some of what you just said. We only believe that the pathogen comes into our body at the time of illness. We never, ever, ever, ever consider that the pathogen is already in the body before the onset of illness, and that there are conditions in the body, in the local environment, and in the larger environment that signal the activation of that pathogen already in the body. And this is why vaccination is so dangerous, because it only assumes that you don't have the germ in your body unless it comes into your body from someone who's sick. And that is unscientific. That's mythological. It's unproven. And it's untrue, because the body has close to 400 trillion microorganisms. And to think that you have only 400 trillion microorganisms, but not the ones we vaccinate against, is statistically impossible to confirm. And if you start to realize that there's one disease state that is massively on the rise, and that is autoimmune disease, you can start to understand that the body in an autoimmune disease is turning on its own tissue. And if you believe that that germ or that information that you're injecting into the body may already have a signature inside the body, then you are actually creating that autoimmune disease by vaccinating, because you're missing the understanding that not only is that germ that you're vaccinating against already in the body and part of the body, but you're losing the thought process that questions, is it possible that microorganisms also have genetic instructions similar to human tissue? And they already know that we do. And so we are walking around thinking, if we're not sick with a germ, we don't have it in our body. And that is a myth. And that's one of the reasons that we're creating such bad autoimmune diseases, because we're mistakenly believing no illness in the environment, no germ in your body, no tissue in your body with similar or same genetic material. And that's a lie.
We're going to wrap it up here. I want to tie this up. So I personally wouldn't want to get polio or smallpox or any disease. And you're sharing that a lot of these conditions possibly could already be dormant inside of us. And it's the environment that could trigger it, like a vaccine could trigger it. But if we're working with the environment, how to wrap up then is, in Chinese medicine, when we talk about fertility, we say nourish the soil before you plant the seed, that the environment, the soil is key. That plant can reach its potential often based on the soil. So for those of us that want to stay healthy and work on our cellular environment and build up our immunity, and not only to prevent disease, but thrive with the hardware that we have, can we talk a little bit, as we wrap up then, the mind-body-spirit approach to have a good environment to be your own healthy immune system?
Beautiful. Great. This is the subject that is most important when we talk about vaccines. So I think it boggles people's minds when we learn that the body is infested with over 100 trillion bacteria alone and upwards of several hundred trillion pieces of viral genetic material. People are completely boggled when they hear that there's viral genetic material inside our chromosomes, inside our mitochondria, inside the bacteria that line our bodies. We are never not exposed to microorganisms. And the biggest question to ask is, why are we safe with this exposure? Why is it that we can brush our teeth, wipe our behinds, eat our food, cut our skin, have sexual intercourse, where microorganisms are going right into the blood system and the lymph system and not get sick? How is it that inside our cells we can have trillions of pieces of genetic material of viruses and not be sick? And the reason being is because these are not our enemies. These microorganisms are in us and on us to keep us well. And in fact, we see what happens when we're not well. We're buried, we're hypoxic, and these microorganisms chew our flesh. So how do you maintain the proper soil so these microorganisms work with us to help us digest our food, to help us have our bowels, to help us remove wastes through our skin, to help us interact with the nervous system and the immune system, to produce nutrients that we need in the intestines, to control our mental state, our nervous systems. And so what is it that keeps this balance? And that's where we look at the body, the mind, and the spirit. If you create a diet, if you create an air environment, if you can create a physical environment that is stressful, that is not food, that is unhealthy materials, well, then you're going to change the kind of microorganisms that are going to grow, because part of what those microorganisms do is to help you get rid of wastes. And if you're putting too many wastes in your body, then those microorganisms are going to have to change to do their job. And sometimes changing to do their job gets us sick. And if we're living in an emotional environment that also is stressful, that affects the microorganisms as well. And if we're not doing our inner work, if we're breathing in toxic air, if we're injecting toxic materials into our body, if we're putting very caustic sunscreen and other skincare products onto our body, if we're bringing people into our lives who are parasites, then we're going to change the shift of the microorganisms in us. They're going to have to make them work differently, because their specific goal is to help us stay well. And when we start changing that balance, we bring uninvited guests to grow that then chronically make us sick. And we have control somewhat of what we put in our mouths, what we put into our bodies on our skin and through our skin, what we allow in our air, what we allow our feet to touch, what people we allow around us and in our lives, what kind of environments we live in, and how much stress we take on, which then creates a soil that can hurt us, but doesn't have to if we make the right choices. And you know, Lauren, the thing is that when I was taught in medical school, I was taught the patient doesn't have to be responsible for anything. We are the ones to do it all. And we don't have to help them other than to give them something to make their symptoms go away. And medicine has changed, and life has changed, and our awareness has changed, that we can be the our own doctors in many ways, take care of ourselves in many ways that allow us to become conscious about the thoughts we have, the emotions we work with, our responses versus our reactions to the world. And we can be responsible to try to navigate ways to rebalance as we go. And I remember when I first started learning yoga in 1998, I learned a term called repose. This is something used in, especially in Iyengar, where you can get into a pose and you can stay in that pose for half an hour. And you're always reposing. You're in it, you're in it, you're in it. And then you repose and you learn something new in it. And you breathe differently and something else happens. And that's what we as humans can do, is to repose every single time we do things, we think things, we try things, we experience things, because we are the greatest doctors in our lives. It doesn't mean we don't need assistance, but doctors are really the guardrails if we're on the road correctly.
I want to thank you very much, Dr. Lawrence Pilevsky. Hopefully, our listeners are going to gain something from this. Great dialogue with you. How do people learn more about you? Like, what's the, because you have a lot of resources. We can list them all in the show notes for sure. And is there a place where they can go and then find your podcast, find your blogs, find any posts or research you've done? Where would you like us to direct people on social media and your website?
My website is drpalevsky, that's PalevSky.com. On there, you'll see my newsletters. Embedded in my newsletters, you'll see all the articles that I found interesting, some of the things I wrote, podcasts that I've done, interviews that I've done. There's also a video section on my website where people can get that. I have an Instagram account, dr.palevsky. I have a Telegram account, drpalevsky. I have Rumble, I have MeWe, I have Facebook. It's all on there. And I look forward to people coming and visiting and getting some information to empower you to learn more.
Thank you very much, Dr. Larry.
Thank you.
If you're looking for support to grow your family, contact AccuBalance Wellness Center. At AccuBalance, they help you reach your peak fertility potential through their integrative approach, using low-level laser therapy, fertility acupuncture, and naturopathic medicine. Download the AccuBalance Fertility Diet and Dr. Brown's video for mastering manifestation and clearing subconscious blocks. Go to AccuBalance.ca, that's ACUBalance.ca.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Conscious Fertility, the show that helps you receive life on purpose. Please take a moment to subscribe to the show and join the community of women and men on their path to peak fertility and choosing to live consciously on purpose. I would love to continue this conversation with you, so please direct message me on Instagram at Lauren Brown Official. That's Instagram, Lauren Brown Official. Or you can visit my websites, laurenbrown.com and accubalance.ca. Until the next episode, stay curious, and for a few moments, bring your awareness to your heart center and breathe.